Paul, I'm sorry I interrupted you there. We were talking movies. Yes, Paul Whittington's here to talk big screen movies. Talk big screen movies, Paul.
Us.
Us is huge, isn't it? Because of who he is, Jordan Peele.
Yeah, it's Jordan Peele, and the problem for someone like Jordan Peele is how do you feel like his first feature film is Get Out, which, you know, did huge business for the kind of film it was and was lauded by the critics and was both a horror film and a kind of race satire, very clever film. How do you follow that?
It was a phenomenal success on every single level, wasn't it? For those who haven't seen Get Out, you should, in fact, I'd suggest seeing it a second time too, just to see the nuances in it and just exactly.
Yeah, I think it's on Netflix now, actually.
Is it? Yeah, what's up there on the wall and how. It's just the weirdest thing. Like,
it is very funny, though, also.
Oh, God, yeah.
So this is his follow-up, and what he's done is done something in a way completely different. People will think that because the family in it are black, that it's about that. It's actually not. The fact that they're black is incidental to a larger story.
Oh, really? Because this is like huge praise from America. My son went to it last night and went,
you're saying he wasn't too impressed.
But everybody's just saying it's fantastic.
Well, yeah, no, I don't think it would be for absolutely everybody because it does get a bit grandiose towards the end. I should explain that Jordan Peele is a Twilight Zone fan, and he's fronting up this, doing a relaunch of it.
Oh, great. Well up for that.
I think later this year. And this is based on a Twilight Zone episode, a kind of doppelganger kind of story. And Lupita Nyong'o and Winston Duke play this couple called Gabe and Adelaide, and they have two children, and they've gone to this sort of seaside house for the weekend. And he's a very happy-go-lucky guy, but she's haunted by something. And in this brilliant prologue, we go back to her 1980s childhood, and she's in this fairground by the seaside in the 1980s, and she gets lost and goes into this kind of Hall of Mirrors type thing and meets a little girl who's exactly like her. Now, she's never got over this for whatever reason, and we don't know why. And she has this sort of sense
of
dread. Rod
Serling should be doing the voiceover from there.
Indeed. And she has this sense of dread, and then... with good reason, because they're settling down one night and they see these four figures in the driveway. I'm not giving anything away, all of this is in the trailers and everything, and they're standing stock still. Gabe goes out to confront them, and one of them attacks them, and then they get into the house. They're the image of the mother, the father.
Thus, your word, doppelganger. Yeah, I've seen the trailer already.
Yeah, yeah, but they're the same and not the same, because they only the woman, the doppelganger woman, speaks. The rest of them, they communicate by grunts. They seem like feral, like animals or something like that. And we discover that they have come from underground, and that they are not alone. That this is a kind of plague that is happening across California and maybe America, and that these people have come up to replace the sort of the those above ground. So in one sense, it's Twilight Zone. There were jokes, but they were occasional. There's lots of humour in this. Elizabeth Moss and what's his name, the other actor,
Tim Heidecker
play this white couple that they know, who are very funny. They're like the couple in Father Ted, who are very nice to everybody, and then they bicker with each other.
Oh yeah.
And so there is a lot of humour.
When you say that, is that not a bit like the movie he made in like Get Out? I mean, the white couple were all so nice to the black guy who comes along, trying, bending over backwards to prove everything, like we voted for Obama sort of stuff.
No, they're not really like that. They don't really conceal their dislike for each other that much, and they just exist as a slightly richer counterpoint to the other family. But as I say, race is not really an issue here. It doesn't come up, which is kind of refreshing. Like, it just happens to be a black family at the middle of it. But what does come up, you can read into it what you want, but those coming up from underground could be the risen proletariat, if you know what I mean. And there's this idea running through the film that if you live well in the Western world, it is at someone else's expense. And that's kind of the idea that's bubbling underneath. So, but you don't really have to be bothered by that. You can also just enjoy it.
On paper, this is a horror movie, and it's just like the amount of horror movies that come out of Hollywood, and it's great to see that there's something seriously A division about this guy's horror.
Yeah, well, what he's proved again with this is that horror movies don't have to be stupid and generic. They can be whatever they want, and this is a very clever film. It's beautifully photographed and put together. Like, that's come up.
Yeah, I saw him being interviewed, and he said, like, you know, I got like, you know, 200 times the budget for this. Yeah, I spent it.
Yeah, he did spend it, and and which is great. And okay, it does get slightly grandiose towards the end, but it's hard to kind of criticize that because he's going for it and it looks great. And Lupita Nyong'o, who I...
Does she play both?
She's brilliant in it. Oh. I interviewed her in London last week. She is absolutely terrific in it. Yeah. And there's
she
so
in 12 Years a Slave? No, she's
she was. That's what she won the Oscar for. Yeah. And I was going to say at any other time of year there'd be talk of an Oscar, but of course Jordan Peele won an Oscar a year after his film came out for Get Out, so I suppose you never know.
He won the best screenplay, was it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but it's one of those films you should go and see it, you know.
Right.
Maybe, you know, you might not love it, but you'll be very interested by it.
Okay, fine. Us is what it's called, and certainly thumbs up from across the water as well, big time. That's the big one this weekend. What else?
The White Crow.
Oh, that's Rudolf Nureyev. Yes. Affecting, is it?
Yes, and it's Ralph Fiennes directed, and he plays a kind of smallish role in it, and David Hare wrote the screenplay, and I really like this film. It was shown at the festival, and in fact Ralph Fiennes came over to collect some sort of gong during the festival, and this was shown. I must say, I think it's great. I saw it on my own in a very big cinema in the Lighthouse.
Yes, he collected the Volta gong.
The Volta gong, and that was it, yeah.
Marion Finucane talked to him on the radio and said, "Do you know what a Volta is?" He said, "No." He didn't know, and it was James Joyce opened the first cinema.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. No, he didn't know.
Well, fair play.
Someone ought to have explained that.
Yeah, someone probably should have beforehand, yeah.
But this is sort of built around, it was the summer, early summer of 1961. He wasn't that well known. Nureyev had come to Paris, and they were to go into London as part of a Kirov tour.
Oh, he wasn't that well known when he came, was he not?
No,
he was
known in Russia, and then in Paris, in the week before he defected, people started raving about his performances at Opera Garnier, but he wasn't that well known before that. And in fact, the point is made in this film that the other dancer in the troupe, the other young lead, was... he was as good as him. Nureyev had something different, something special, this film is kind of built around that incident, you know, where he decides to defect, and that's beautifully handled. But we also go back in time to, he was obviously born in a train on the way to Siberia. He grew up, he was Tartar, so he grew up in quite a lot of poverty, and he had to fight to get into the right school. Ralph Fiennes plays his teacher, this very sympathetic teacher called Pushkin, with whose wife Nureyev became involved, according to this film. And he was a very chippy, very difficult person. This film does not skirt that, very temperamental, but it's partly to do with the fact that he was quite chippy, and understandably so, about where he came from and how he was seen by other Russians. So a lot of that it comes out in this film. And the guy who plays Oleg Ivenko is a dancer, a good dancer, and he's able to do that hanging in the air thing that Nureyev famously did. It's a very nicely put together.
I'm sure there's a proper word for it, is there? Hanging in the air. Oh, there he is. He's doing the hanging in the air thing.
There probably is a proper ballet word for that, Dave, I don't know it, and you definitely don't know it.
Is that a pas de deux?
Is the big, and
excuse
maybe
me.
During that, yeah. So there you go.
Whoa, I came up with
something.
Right. I'm sure that's
But no, I think you would have to be, you know, it's you'd be aware of the kind of film it is. But I think it's very well made altogether.
Okay, wow, look at the time. I was hoping to do loads of stuff and play more music. So go on, you better use the last 40 seconds or so. Minding the Gap, yeah.
Yeah, not about the London Underground, as everybody hears the title says.
Mind the Gap.
Yeah, very clever little documentary which kind of expanded organically, if you want to use that awful word. This guy called Bing Liu directed it, and he grew up in Rockford, Illinois, which is you may have been there actually. It's quite a big city. It's the biggest city outside.
I've never been there, no.
Of Chicago and Illinois.
I've never been to Chicago.
Have you not?
No.
Oh, it's a very interesting place. But this place has kind of been going downhill. This guy bonds with two best friends over skateboarding, which means a lot to them, and he has all these beautiful sequences of them skateboarding around the town in the early morning, late at night. But then the film expands out into their kind of... They all come from these, what transpire to be difficult backgrounds, with fathers who are either oppressive or violent or absent. And what seems to be a quite straightforward film about a teenage hobby then becomes this much bigger sort of treatise on the state of American manhood and America generally, and about the idea of an underclass and iniquity and all that kind of thing. It's a really surprisingly good documentary.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, I remember Gleaming the Cube. Was that one I saw years ago about skateboarding? Something like that.
Something like that.
Mind in the Gap, thumbs up. The White Crow about Rudolf Nureyev, thumbs up as well. And Us, thumbs up.
Very positive mood.
Good
this
week, Paul Winnington from the Indo. Thanks a million, Paul. We've got to get out of here.